Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our series on angels and the spirit world with this study of the occult. We want to remind you that you can find the conclusion of this two-part study on our website at bbfohio.com, along with other resources and our contact and donation information. As we get right into a current events update and then our study beginning in 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 through 3 on what the Bible says about the occult. This is part 1 of 2.
Headline reviews in the news. Number 1, I didn't have that mic on. A victory for the Bible and true science in Portsmouth, Ohio. Shawnee State has to pay a professor $400,000 in settlement over students' preferred pronouns. Yay. You may not remember this, but I reported on this sometime last year, I believe it was. I love it when the liberals lose. I just have to. Shawnee State University will pay a professor $400,000 in damages and attorney fees to settle a lawsuit over not using a student's preferred pronoun. Now, listen closely. This is the Columbus Dispatch. In 2018, Shawnee State philosophy professor Nicholas Meriwether called a transgender student sir during a lecture when she raised her hand. The Columbus Dispatch is run by nutcases, calling the male student she. Think of the stinking nuts. And the sodomite administration at Shawnee State University. You heard that here first. And I made that up when I was making my. Okay, I won't turn. I'll repeat it. And the sodomite administration at the Shawnee State University will continue to push wickedness. They make that clear. Though we have decided to settle, we adamantly deny that anyone at Shawnee State deprived Dr. Meriwether of his free speech rights or his rights to freely exercise his religion. We continue to stand behind a student's right to a discrimination-free learning environment, as well as the rights of faculty, visitors, students, and employees to freely express their ideas and beliefs. Over the course of this lawsuit, it became clear that the case was being used to advance divisive social and political agendas at a cost to the university and students. You stupid. That's what this started, this whole thing, is the advancement of divisive social and political fag, sodomite, whatever you want to call them, agendas. That's what's causing the problem. That's why our universities are filled with mental handicapped people who, when they graduate, can't write a complete sentence in an email. Amen. I mean, I've worked with OSU graduates. They can't write sentences.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, we have a couple of OSU grads here. Not every OSU grad is that stupid. But when you pay the kind of money you pay to go to that kind of university with all their credentials and everything, you should not have the number or the percentage of people graduating from those schools who are blank stupid.
Amen.
And that's what's happening. And it's the hiss of the serpent. There's a reason why all these sodomites who pretend to be women.
On that slide, they should just put at the end of the sentence that says express their ideas and beliefs except for Christians.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
But there's a reason why all these sodomites, when they talk, they hiss. You ever notice it? Mm-hmm. You should. It's very blatant. The National Center for Lesbian Rights said it is disappointed by the settlement.
We believe his lawsuit should have been dismissed and would have failed had the case continued.
That's how they talk. They hiss. I don't think it's any way, shape, or form just a coincidence.
Regardless of this settlement, Shawnee State's legal obligation to protect transgender students from discrimination remains intact. We remain committed to taking all necessary actions to safeguard the rights of the transgender students at Shawnee State.
That's right.
You listen for it. All these, I mean, first of all, you got these men who claim they like men, but they all try to sound like women. That's why they're called perverts. But at least these snakes have suffered a setback. Amen? Mm-hmm. And number two, tightwad Christians shame the name of Jesus. I've taught on this. I've mentioned this as I'm teaching, but this hit the news. So I thought I'd just bring it up again. Scripture don't pay the bills, server says. Customers who came in after church left her a scripture instead of a tip. And this means, I think, as much as anything you do in your life will have, you want to hand out gospel tracts with the intent of hoping that people will read them and get saved. Well, if you want people to totally turn off the gospel, give them a tract and don't tip them whenever they're supposed to be tipped. I mean, there's other people do things, you give them a tract, they don't, you know, don't tip everybody you give a tract to. But if you're in at a restaurant and that person is waiting on you, if you don't tip them, then they barely make minimum wage in an inflationary economy. She is exactly right. She said, if that's better than a monetary tip, why do they give money to church? Well, I bet some of the same people don't. Because they're not grown up enough mentally to understand that you have to pay bills. You have to have money. I mean, in the old days, when they had a church building without electricity, they didn't even have running water, they'd throw coal or wood in the stove to heat it, and they bring the preacher eggs or something like that, bring them a chicken or whatever. That was fine. But now, first of all, I got to say, we have people who bring me things, I'm not complaining. And that includes if the Shinglers are watching, we love your eggs. Keep the eggs coming. I'm saying that if that's all you ever gave to the church, we'd have to close the doors. And in most churches, there's a small group of people in the church who pay all the bills. And I've said it before, I believe we have a much higher than average number of people who do give. But I don't know everybody who gives. Some people give, they don't even mark what they give. They throw it in there. So I don't know who's giving what and all that sort of thing. But this between you and God. But when it comes to not just the church, but when you have somebody, that waiter or that waitress is serving you, and it's basically a social contract that when we go into a restaurant and a waiter or waitress takes care of us, that we are going to show our appreciation. And that would be a tip, not a tract. The tract is to try to reach them with the gospel. And I've told you, if you give them what this girl went out on TikTok and everything, but most of the time they just go, trash. They're not going to read your tract if you leave it and don't give a tip. It's a viral TikTok video that started this, but it made the news. A server calls out customers who come in to eat after church on Sunday, some of which leave a scripture instead of a tip. And she specifically refers to something, you know, I'll say in a minute, but it's absolutely true because I've lived it, seen it, and burned the T-shirt, as they say. I mean, I've worked in steakhouses. I've worked in fast food. Now, fast food, most of the time you don't tip, you know. But the Sunday is the worst day to work. The people would come in after church, and most of them were rude. And they would leave garbage everywhere. The bathrooms were horrible. It looked like they'd let a bunch of untrained monkeys loose in there. It was terrible. Then when I worked at the steakhouse, I was a busser. And I would go in and I would collect the tips for the waitresses. So I knew what tips were being left. We had churches come in with 30 or 40 people and take the whole section over here. And after it was done, they'd leave her a $20 tip. Should have been about $200.
Yeah.
I remember one time this little girl, I was witnessing to her. And then she comes back and I can see her crying. Because she knew her paycheck wasn't going to make minimum wage that Sunday. And she was hurting for money. And I went up to her and I said, you know what? I'm a Christian. And I'm ashamed. And I tell you, I don't do that. And my parents, people I know, they don't do that. But I don't know how to explain what's going on with these people. And we took a collection up and actually collected a tip among employees to help her out. And most of them were Christians. They happened to feel just as ashamed as I did about what had happened. She said, it's like a fake $100 bill that has a scripture on it that is better than any monetary tip you would receive. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen the little $100 bills?
Oh, yeah.
Those were never intended to be used instead of money. They were intended to be put on top of your tip. And the message was that, yeah, we're glad to give you a tip, but this is more important. It doesn't mean that the money isn't important. And anybody who acts like it is, let's take your paycheck for a couple of weeks and see how you feel about it. Anyway, any Christian doing this is simply a disgrace. And if it's you, just stop. Start tipping. And I always tell everybody, I go 20% and round it up. 20% minimum on your tip. Why? Because if you're not tipping like that, you're not paying for the service. Now, every once in a while somebody will say, well, what if they give bad service? Okay, fine, but I hardly ever get bad service. In the restaurants around here, I hardly ever get bad service. I hardly ever have an excuse. But you know what? It's worth it to me to go ahead and tip them and give them a track and maybe give some positive reinforcement. Maybe they'll do better next time. There's been times where I know they see me and Jenny coming. And they're like, oh, people who actually tip. All right. Anyway, we're told in Acts 20:35, Paul said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I'll cut it off here. I don't want to get too ranty about it. But you shouldn't be a slob. You should just straighten your table up at least a little bit. And don't leave the restroom looking like you're an animal. And tip and leave that track. And it might be a possibility they'll read it. And you might see them on Judgment Day and they'll come up and thank you. Amen?
Amen.
1 John 4:1 through 3. In your King James Bible.
Amen.
Got another version. I can't promise what's going to be there.
Maybe
hidden, esoteric, mystical, and mysterious, anti-biblical spirituality is occult. That basically sums it up. Brother Jimmy, you close in prayer. I'm just kidding. That really is it, though. I mean, you come out of there, if you just get this much tonight, and what we're about to read in 1 John 4:1-3, you'll have more than most Christians have today. It's called spiritual discernment. It comes by learning the Word of God and recognizing your enemy and what they're up to. And most Christians are susceptible to the occult tonight because they're left ignorant by their own laziness and the fact they attend a Laodicean church and they don't understand what's going on around them. So let's read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Read the odd verses with me, which begins with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Amen? So this, if it's not God's spirit, and anyone rejecting Jesus as God in flesh, the Son of God, the risen Savior, is of a false spirit. Now, there's a little bit of a tweak on here that you'll hear people, they'll say, I believe Jesus has come in the flesh. But see, that's a half-truth, and that's why you better watch it. Jesus is. Amen?
Amen.
What do we celebrate Sunday and Monday? He is risen. Oh, Charlie, I'm so proud of you. He is risen. He is. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I wouldn't. Got to watch when I say that. The emphasis on the word is risen. He is come in the flesh. Why, if you say he has, that leaves open the idea that the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and other cults that we just mentioned teach that he didn't rise bodily. They believe in a spirit resurrection, that he basically was like a ghost. And the Bible is clear that his body, he said, this temple I'll raise again. And that's important because that means that's what he's going to raise for you and me. Yes.
He even talks about having flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And then see and feel me.
Touch me if you want to, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if a spirit ain't God's spirit, it's an evil spirit. Amen?
Amen.
That's really, again, sums it up. I mean, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. Remember that? Whose are you? There's only two sides. And you know, a lot of people like that gray area. I mean, there's the really born-again Christian people and the really bad, evil people. And then there's all these people in the middle that everybody likes to put in a gray area. I'm sorry, but if you're not in possession of it, if God has not purchased you, if you do not belong to Him, you belong to your father, the devil.
Amen.
I mean, that's not going to make you popular if you go around telling everybody that. Which is why most of us shouldn't be very popular. Amen?
Amen.
Biblically, the occult is any form of spirituality that does not originate with and permitted by the Spirit of God. If it's not His Spirit and it's another spirit, of course we have a mortal body and we have a spirit, each one of us. But the question is, okay, you then open yourself up to what spirit? It's either the Spirit of God or a spirit that is not of God, all of whom belong to the wrong kingdom. And we have got to be unafraid of getting back to simple black and white truth. Americans, Europeans especially, have been conditioned to think that if you are that kind of person, you're closed-minded. Well, see, the Bible does not tell you to be open-minded. It doesn't tell you to be closed-minded. It tells you to be ready-minded. Not open-minded. If you're open-minded, you're in danger. We are ready-minded. What's that mean? That's the Berean. They search the Scripture to see if what they're being taught is so, and if so, they're ready to receive it.
Amen.
And that should describe everybody in this room right now, every professing Bible-believing Christian, online or outline. You should have that attitude that if what I'm hearing from the teacher, or what I'm thinking in my own thoughts, if it is in line with God's Word, receive it. Be ready-minded. Otherwise, close-minded. Scripture with Scripture. All right, now I already gave Charlie 1 Samuel 28, 7 and 8. Go ahead and read that.
Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee.
Now I want to start here, and Brother Doug's not here, but I was going to reference, he came up last Wednesday, and he said, now, you said you taught on witchcraft tonight, and next week is occult. I thought they were the same. And this isn't knocking Doug, this is a very good question. And it's just like, I told him, it's just like in Christianity, if you're saved, you're saved, amen? But there is a big difference between a dispensational Bible believer and someone who is in the Presbyterian church. Mm-hmm. If they're saved, they're saved. But the Presbyterian, if they're denominational like the Presbyterian Church of America and some of this. They're not dispensational. And so we would disagree on a lot of doctrinal things. We're both Christians. You take a Pentecostal. They may agree with us if they're dispensational. There are dispensational Pentecostals, and yet they believe in the speaking in tongues and sign gifts. That's where we would differ. The same thing's true in all the other main religious groups. Islam, for example, that's not just Islam, and they like to pretend that, but it's not. There's Sunnis, Shias, Sufis, Wahhabis, and on and on and on it goes. All kinds of Kurds and different groups. That's why I started here. Look, this witch has a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit means that they have a spirit that helps them communicate with what they believe are dead people. In reality, they're devils. So they're communicating with devils, thinking that they are dead people, but they are possessed with this familiar spirit that then is their conduit to speak to the dead. Now, some of that is fake and all that, and there's some that are able to talk to you and pick out little things and make it look like they can talk. They're talking to your Aunt Gertrude or somebody. But there's a real side to that. And this is an account of it right here that we're reading. Witches, wizards, and warlocks are all, you know, we talked about that in our study, have a familiar spirit. Most claim to have that. To communicate with evil spirits, they have seances. But just because someone has seances doesn't mean they're a witch. You see? So the witches do that, but it doesn't mean that everybody who does that is a witch. Not all who communicate with evil spirits are a witch, wizard, or warlock. So, Lydia is going to finish that reading, 9 through 10.
And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing.
Now look at the text, that have familiar spirits, comma, and the wizards. He's making those two different things. So Scripture makes a difference between those that have familiar spirits and the wizards. And that's why we need to, amen? When the Bible makes that difference, we'd better make that difference. So take note, witchcraft is occultic, but is just one of numerous types of occultism. Not all occultists are witches. That's important. The word occult itself means hidden from the eye or understanding, invisible, secret, unknown, undiscovered, undetected, as the occult qualities of matter. We're not going to try to go through all the occult groups and all that. I mean, there's just too many. We wouldn't be able to go through them all. What you need to understand, how many of you heard me say this before, or you've heard other teachers say this before, that if you know the truth, if you know the real thing, then you can then find or spot the counterfeit.
Right.
Amen. And that's what our study tonight is going to emphasize, that the Bible is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says, stay away from this. You don't have to know everything about it. You don't have to know every group that's involved in it. But here's the thing, is if you learn what the Bible says about the occult, then when you see it, even if you've never heard of that group or that person before, you'll recognize it. It's one of the best things as a pastor, when I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I just, this thing, and or they'll show you something on their phone, or they'll send you a link, and they'll say, there's something not right about it. And I've never heard of this before, but there's something not right. And then I'll look into it, and I'll say, yeah, that you're right. And I'll explain it to them. And that's called discernment.
Amen.
And if Christians, that's the goal of the church. Every local church should want its people to learn the Word and know the real thing, know the truth, so that they can then see the counterfeits, see the traps that Satan is setting for you. And that's the occult. The occult is secret spirituality. It's coded. They have symbols. And we are going to look at some of this stuff, but I just want you to understand that you don't have to know them all, and don't try to, because number one, don't spend all your time on that. A lot of people We've talked about people who get so into researching the occult and everything that they kind of lose themselves in it. But witchcraft, just to show the difference, is defined as the practices of witches, sorcery, enchantments, intercourse with the devil. And that doesn't necessarily mean the bad sexual intercourse, but there are stories. But that's the difference between witchcraft and the occult, is there is a difference. Also, as you come across this in the real world, you'll see the terms spiritism and spiritualism. And people get those crossed and mixed up. They're actually two different words. One key to know that is they're spelled different. We always emphasize that. When you see words are spelled different, that might be a different word. And they're occult terms used interchangeably, but they actually hold differences. A spiritualist may not believe in reincarnation.